against our king. No one can, no one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 oh.
Welcome to Faith Boost Your Morning. Faith Boost Your Morning Energizer. Yes, victory belongs to Jesus. Great song by Todd Donnelly. And then I suppose it helps to communicate a bit of what we're getting at this week. Victory belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, victory belonging to Jesus is victory belonging to you and to me. So we're looking this week at a very interesting topic. Beyond Calvary, beyond the cross. Yesterday, I believe we were able to set some level of foundation. And the fact that we get to look so much at the cross, we could teach a lot about the cross. Now, I'm talking generally about the Church of Jesus Christ. I know I've talked more of resurrection than I have about the cross, but I'm talking to members of the body of Christ. Say, so there's so much about, hey, Christ is on the cross, so we have the crucifix and all of that. And it's great, all right? If you missed yesterday, please listen to it. We can't get the resurrection if there was no cross. But Jesus isn't on the cross. He's right now not there. So when we tell people, oh, take your burdens to the cross, take your sorrows to the cross, are you heavy, go to the cross. Jesus is not on the cross. And then the totality of what is preached that gets a man born again is not Christ died. All right. It has to be complete. You have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That really is the essence of it. Did you get what I just said? So it's not, oh, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Good. Not complete. Not enough. All right. So if you go preach in a village or, you know, a country somewhere, or, you know, and then you meet someone who's never heard about Jesus, doesn't understand, you know, how to connect all the dots. You can't just tell him that Jesus died. Okay, so somebody died for me. You know, what to us, it sounds a lot like good news. It could sound like, how could, and I'm sure you've met people who will tell you, how could God be so wicked to allow his son to die? What kind of father does that? Oh, no, he didn't allow his son to die. No, 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 no. His son did die, but his son resurrected. That was the plan. You know, so if we leave it at all, but he died, it's great. not complete. So you and I must have the totality of it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is speaking here. All right, verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture." So it has to be complete. It's not, oh, he died. Yes, he did die, but it's that he died and then he's raised up from the dead. Do you understand that? All right. Romans chapter 10, all right, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Did you get that? You believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth, all right? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, all right, that God raised him from the dead. So it has to be complete. It has to be complete. Do you understand that? So Paul is now needing to deal with something still now, coming quickly back to 1 Corinthians 15. It says from verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." So the contention is not even over his death. It's over resurrection. If Christ is not resurrection, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. 14 says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain and our faith is also vain." 15, "Yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins." Are you getting that now? Not if Christ did not die, all right? If Christ did not rise up, then your faith, all right, is vain and then you're still in your sins. "Then they also that are asleep," all right, "in Christ, they are perished. If in this life," 19 now, "we have hope," if only in this life we have hope, "of all men most miserable." Oh, hallelujah. I love verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep." He's risen from the dead. He became the first fruit of them that sleep. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." 22 says, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." This is beautiful. I'll read 20 and 21 again. All right. "But now is Christ raised for," okay, 20, 21, 22. All right. "But now is Christ risen." All right. He is risen. He is alive. "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Christ all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Anybody getting this? So the completeness of our salvation, the foundation, okay, upon which our salvation, all right, is built, is not on the crucifixion. It is on the work of God in Christ, through Christ, within those 3 days. It begins with, yes, he's punished, he suffered, he's crucified and he dies. But then it must continue. The burial is important. He had to be buried. He had to spend 3 days. You know, he said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up." All that had to be. It was necessary. All right, he had to spoil principalities and powers. Then he had to be declared righteous. Then he had to be raised up from the dead, first spiritually and then physically. Spiritually in that when he became sin, okay, he wasn't just carrying our sin, he became sin. So he himself had to be declared righteous. I guess we'll take this one after the other. But this is exciting, beyond Calvary, beyond Calvary. So thank God for the cross. Oh, but thank God for what began at the cross. Are you getting that now? So we thank him for the cross, but then we thank him for what began at the cross. Let's quickly get to the book of Luke. I mean, it's interesting, you know, to see the importance or the value placed on the resurrection. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So Luke 24 verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, all right, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices, all right, which they had prepared, and certain other things with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Why seek ye? It has to be, you know, because the death in itself, you know, to us, we understand the victory side of it, but it's the defeat. So he's dead. Oh, and then everybody goes home. And then they're busy crying. And then they came again 3 days later because there was a high Sabbath. There were two Sabbaths, all right? So if there was just one Sabbath, so he's crucified, all right? And then there's Sabbath. Then they would have come the day right after that Sabbath, all right? And then, you know, need to attend to him. But there was a double Sabbath this period. So, hey, and then, anyway, so why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how that he said unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, watch this, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I'll read that verse 7 again. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So we must talk to the church, preach, and more importantly, even personally, carry in your heart a revelation of resurrection. Please, you must carry in your heart a resurrection of, all right, a revelation of resurrection. Because the work wasn't finished at the cross. Oh, yes, he said it is finished. And a lot was finished. I mean, the curtain of the temple tore. We'll touch some of those things during the week. But you have to understand how this whole thing is, you know, is as it were, in stages. All right? In phases. Romans chapter 4, 25, for instance, says, Jesus was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Did you get that? He was delivered up. So he was made to die because of our sins. So he, in dying, he paid the price for our sins. Remember the story of the two goats in Leviticus, right? So every year when it's the time of atonement, okay, so the high priest will have two goats with him. First, he lays hands on one of them, right? And then he confesses the sins of the people on that one. And that is referred to as a scapegoat. That goat is released into the wild, all right? Destroyed by animals, wild animals, killed. But, you know, there's just this transference of sin. And then there's this other goat, all right? The high priest kills that goat. From the blood of the goat, he goes into the Holy of Holies and does all the sprinkling. Two goats. Now, Jesus represents both, all right? Well, all three. He is the high priest. He is the goat that is sacrificed, whose blood is offered. He, again, is the one upon whom the sins of everybody is placed, and then he's offered up, you know, taken outside the city, was crucified right there. So he was delivered because of our sins. So he paid the price. He died because of our sins. So now in dying, oh, our sins have been paid for. Good. But then the work of recreation and the new birth wasn't complete. The law had ended, the curtain tore, by his body tearing, the veil of the temple tore, God's presence about to be made available to everybody. I mean, all of that is clear. That began from the cross. But Bible here says, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again. So his resurrection was proof that sacrifice has been accepted. That's why resurrection is a big deal. That's why you cannot, guys, all right, lay the foundation of preaching to anyone on just Jesus died. The foundation is he died, yes, buried, yes, resurrected. Because he wrote a will, all right? And then he died. And then he's alive now to enforce by his spirit the things written in his will. He's alive to enforce the things written in his will. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? So beautiful is the story of resurrection. So, 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 so beautiful. I love something that Jesus said to Mary. I mean, so, so beautiful. All right. The 21st verse of the book of John. All right. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. 20 rather. John 20. And then the 11th verse of John 20. Okay. And then Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping. All right. Just a separate account. This is John now. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Seeing two angels. All right. In white sitting. One at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus was, all right? The body was no longer there, but these two angels sat, you know, one where the head was, one where the body was, all right? And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have kept him." And when she said thus, she turned back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek?" She supposed him to be the gardener, and she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him from here, tell me where you have put him, and I would go take him away." I mean, energy must be revving inside. "I'll go and carry him away." All right. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is called Master. Listen to verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am yet ascended. I'm yet ascended to my Father." Watch this now. "Touch me not. I am yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is beautiful. So we see in the book of Luke chapter 24, how that they were told, "He is not here. He is risen." Okay, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? The crucifixion is Jesus died. The gospel is not all about Jesus dying. It is he died. Yes, he's resurrected. He took our sin upon himself. He hung upon the cross. He became the sacrifice of sin. But now he's resurrected as the ascended Lord, as the chief head and governor over all things, head of the church. Head of the church. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He is risen. He is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there he says, "Tell my brothers, I am ascending to my Father, your Father." All right. To my Father, your Father. I mean, you have to pick. Something happened at the resurrection. Something switched. Jesus officially, by this statement, confirms that he is no longer the only begotten. That's what is going on here. And that's one of the benefits of beyond Calvary. A family has been born. Finally, oh, glory to Jesus Christ. Finally, God's family has been born. God in the beginning, all right, put Adam in the garden and wanted a family through Adam. All right, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So God is going to get a family through Adam. Adam switches the whole plan, and then eventually Adam is in sin, falls short of the glory of God, and every person born by man becomes sin. So basically, you know, basically like a property of the devil. So, but God's plan kicks in. All right, redemption story shows up. Jesus is dead. Jesus now is resurrected. God can now have children. All over again, God can now have a family. Hallelujah. 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 This is interesting. So Jesus says, "Go tell my brothers." Remember before he died, he said to his disciples, "I can no longer call you servants. I can call you friends." All right. Because a servant doesn't know everything the master does. You know the things I do. I call you friends. All right. So he switched from, all right, these are just the people with me, to these are now my friends. Now he calls them brothers. This is deep. This is Now, the word brethren means we came out of the same womb. Are you getting this? The word brethren means we came out of the same womb. He said, go tell my brothers, not friends. Please get this. I know we like to sing friend, friend, friend. Friend is not a family language. I need to get this. All right? A son of God is closer to God than a friend of God. Please understand this. A son, a child of God is closer to God than a friend of God. Even in every family, who inherits? It's not the friend that inherits. It's the son. Please understand this. So Jesus is not a friend of the Father. God and Jesus are not friends. It's Father. All right? As the Father has life, he gave to the Son to have life. The Son came that you may have life. It's a family thing. It was Abraham that was called a friend of God. All right? So Jesus, yes, referred to disciples as friends, but you have to see the switch. Now he says, brothers. Brothers. It's family now. That's why you hear the language inheritance. You hear the word adoption. You hear your spirit is crying, Abba, Father. It's language, not Abba, friend. God is your Father. You are his bona fide child. You have rights and privileges. You have now been brought into his family. One is by adoption. Two is by an actual birth. He recreated your spirit. Put in you his very own nature. Birth you again. The spirit in you is crying, Abba, Father. Not friend, guys. Please understand this. Glory, glory. So he says, I go to my Father, your Father. I go to my God, your God. So let's see the switch, all right? So in John chapter 1, the 14th verse of John 1, Bible says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten, the only. So as at John chapter 1, Jesus was the only one born by God. Please understand how Jesus came into being. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. So Jesus is the Word become flesh. I'm sure that's clear to us, right? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son. Only one person could be called the Son of God, and that's Jesus. Only one person could be called God's Son. So we saw his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course, John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus came into this world as the only begotten Son. Then he was offered up as the only begotten Son. Are you staying with me, please? Jesus came into this world as the only begotten Son. Then he was offered up as the only begotten Son, but he did not resurrect as the only begotten Son. So in John chapter 12, we find in John chapter 12 from verse 20, and there were certain Greeks amongst them. People came to Jerusalem for worship, all right, that came up to worship at the feast, 21. Then the same came therefore to Philip, all right, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would like to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came to tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, watch verse 24, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So Jesus is saying, I'm standing here alone. That's why people are coming to look for me. But I've got to die. All right? I've got to die. But you and I know it's not the death that brings the harvest. If you plant corn, it dies in the earth. But that's the end. So if it's all about death, then one person dies, one person is gone. No, it's now in the resurrection, in the germination. Then that corn you plant now becomes a stalk of corn, and then we get three cobs of corn from it. So it's not in the death that we produce. See 24, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. When? When it's resurrected. So Jesus hangs on the cross as one man, but he resurrects as a family. He resurrects as a new nation. He resurrects as now not the firstborn that died. I remember back then there's this song that rang, you know, Jesus now, the only Son of God. Hey, oh. You know, You know. And I remember telling someone, no, he was the only son, but he's no longer the only son. No, he was. He died as the only son. But when he resurrected, the thing switched. He became firstborn. All right. Romans chapter 8. All right. We'll look at the 28th verse of Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. All right. To them who are the called according to his purpose. 29 is where we're going. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, that's Jesus, might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Family language is used here. He is now the firstborn amongst many brethren. So that means at God's dining table, all right, father sits there, the firstborn is there, the other brothers are there, not friends. It's a family table. It's a family table. Not servants. It's a family table. We serve, yes, but we are sons. It's a family table. Oh, hallelujah. This is beyond Calvary. Right there on the cross, we were not made sons. Right there on the cross is Jesus becoming sin. He that knew no sin was made sin for us. First, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Right there, 1 Peter 2 and 24 tells us, all right, that he took upon himself our sin. All right, he bore it on himself, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. But we couldn't live unto righteousness yet. He was becoming sin. He became sin. That's him dying on the cross. That's him dying on the cross. But there must be a resurrection. The story is not complete in him dying. So he is raised up. Firstborn from the dead. Family language is used. Family language is talked about. So I hope you saw the switch. All right. So we see John 1 first, only begotten. John 3, only begotten. Now Romans, all right, tells us firstborn. We find a similar thing in Colossians chapter 1 and the 18th verse of Colossians chapter 1 says, Jesus, right, talking about Jesus, he is the head of the church, right? He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, all right? He is the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning. Did you get that? He is the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. When you say firstborn, you use family language. When you say father, it's family language. So Jesus now is firstborn. You are now his brother. Yes, brother and sister. But the word brethren means from the same womb. From the same womb. Oh, this is exciting. Remember what John tells us, all right, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 14. 1 John says that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So Jesus is the word made flesh. Do you understand that? Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 23rd verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Jesus is the word made flesh. You who are born again, you are born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word. You are now recreated. All right. Your born again spirit is of the same substance that Jesus came from, the word. Jesus is the word made flesh. You are now born by the word. Oh, this is exciting. Jesus is the word made flesh. You are a product. You came from the word. Oh, come on, somebody. You came from the word. You came from the word. That's what Peter is telling us. You came from the word. James said the same thing in James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will, all right, begat he us. He gave birth to us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Of his own will, he gave birth to us with the word of truth. So you and I are products of the word. You and I are born of the word. No wonder John now screams in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold the manner of love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because the world knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we'll see him as he is, because we're one, we're together. Now, you know, John says, what manner of love the Father put upon us that we should be called sons. Why? This is the same John that said Jesus was the only begotten. He now realizes, wow, he's no longer the only begotten. We have now been brought into the same class, the same family. Oh my goodness. Wow, such love. He came to our level, not to stay at our level, but to upgrade us to his own level. Now we have been upgraded. So this is 1 John 3:1 saying, what manner of love the Father lavished on us to be called sons. And the next chapter, 4 and verse 17, he says, as he is, so are we, so are we. You are now in the family. You now look like your firstborn, not physically, but the same substance, the same quality, the same nature. This is beyond Calvary. This is resurrection. He's now resurrected. He died as the only begotten, hung on the cross as the only begotten, resurrected as the firstborn. Glory to God. I want you to live through today, walk through today, function through today, reminding yourself, I am a bona fide member of the house of God. I've been born. I'm a house member, family member, born again. Glory to God. I'm a brother to Jesus. I know that I have rights and I'm a heir and all that. Come on, I believe this. Bless you. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Bless.